Blog Talk Radio.
We ought to do it together. Simply rejoice and be glad. It is a wonderful day. It's another day, a time of great grace, a time of great favor, a time of great mercy. And as long as you are alive, he's giving you an opportunity to get your heart, your life, your mind, your body, your spirit, your soul right with him. So this day, I take opportunity to bless him because of who he is. He's simply wonderful to me. I don't know about you, but it has been a blessing to be a saved son of the Most High. It truly is. Without him, I know where I'd be. I'm not going to even say that statement again. I know exactly where I'd be without him. But today, because of him, we have hope, we have life, we have help, we have strength, we have peace, we have joy, we have understanding, and more importantly, listen, we have a way to salvation. Hallelujah. We have the Son of the living Elohim in flesh. We call him Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ to most. But at the end of the day, he is the Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is the process in which salvation can be procured. Without him, we have nothing. I believe and trust that his will for our lives was made evident in the life of Yeshua HaMashiach. When he walked this earth, he showed us the plan of Elohim. He showed us the plan that was engineered by Yahweh, spoken forth by Adonai, and then produced by work by the power of Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. It is a wonderful concept to embrace and to believe and to walk within and to, as we would say, flow with. I find that with him all things are possible, because of him all things are necessary, and by him all things are made true. He is the hope of my joy. He is the peace of my life. He is the strength of my joy, and I don't know what I would do without him. So I'm recommending to you today, as I do, bless his name, simply because he is worthy. Hallelujah. Well, we got a great broadcast for you today, looking for some dynamic understanding that's going to come forth in and on your hearts. We have much here in the writ to discuss. And today, we're going to be talking about faith in fire. Many people, we've been dealing with discovering your faith, but today we're going to help you understand what faith in fire is really all about. And when we understand what faith in fire does for us, it puts us in a position, watch this, to come out of fire based on our faith. Yep, that's what we said. We mean that. It's sincere. You're going to learn today. So grab your neighbor, get your cousin, get your auntie, get your grandmama. I mean it. Contact whoever you need to contact. Throw a rock across the lake. Call, tap your neighbor. Put that string on a piece of cardboard that's extended from your other neighbor's house and tell them the proceeding word is on the air. Get on your media. Get on your social media. Grab them on Pinterest. Hit them up on Instagram. Tweet them on Twitter. And get them in Facebook. Get their faces in the book. We're about to do that right now. We're about to get our faces in this book. It's going to teach you some things that will make you and cause you to save face in society. Really, literally, legitimately, you and I will become, listen to this, the face of our Elohim in the earthen realm when we get our faces in the book. Now, I took that opportunity because of the social media plight we were trying to push forth, but understand this clearly. Let your neighbor, your friend, your Facebook friend, your Twitter, your Pinterest or LinkedIn friends know, hey, the proceeding word is on the air. And let them know you're going to learn today. All right? So grab your Bibles. We're going to get into the writ today. Daniel chapter number 3. We're still dealing with discovering your faith. Discovering your faith, as we did on our last broadcast, spoke about how and what faith is. As we know, faith is based on what we believe. Faith is what Elohim's word says about our situation and our belief in that word, that when we apply that word, his word will not return to him void, because he said that he causes it to prosper whereunto he sent it, and that's a beautiful thing, and it will not return to him void. Once he sends his word out, once he speaks his word, his engineered thoughts are enunciated by Adonai into an atmosphere. Ruach HaKodesh grabs those words, hastens to those words to perform those words. We talked about this a little bit further in last broadcast. We explained to you what happened when Yeshua was on a boat in the middle of a ministry. He was performing ministry on the seashores, and there was a boat. They were near the Sea of Galilee, we believe it is. And so while they were there, he said, let's go over to the other side. He spoke a word into the atmosphere. The disciples all technically agreed. We got on the boat. However, once they got on the boat, no one began to do the work of the boat to get the boat to the other side. So the atmosphere, the creation, recognized that the Creator in Yeshua spoke a command. That command was not being adhered to by the men that were with him. They followed him on the boat, but they did not follow him to where he was in the boat. But the point of this is, he spoke a word that said, let's get over to the other side. Nobody became conducive to getting the boat to the other side. So a wind arose. This is the truth that's in your Bible. Story's been there the whole time. A wind arose, and it became tempestuous. It appeared to be tempestuous because those who were with Yeshua on the boat saw only the wind, and they assumed it was some hurricane, tornado, some twister that was coming to destroy the boat, and it actually came to aid the boat. Faith is so much more than we've made it out to be. And today we want to discuss what discovering your faith is really all about and the places you will discover your faith. I'm hoping you're going to stay tuned. Again, grab somebody, call a neighbor, call a friend, get them wherever they are. Call your pastor, your Bible study teacher, your Sunday school teachers, whoever they are, your music ministry department, whoever it is, and tell them the proceeding word is on the air. We are going to proceed with this word. Today we want to talk about a great other element of faith from the Old Testament. We call the Old Testament the Tanakh. And once we were in and out of the Tanakh, we read a story about a prophet, a dynamic prophet by the name of Daniel. And Daniel has this responsibility. He begins to work certain things for kings that gives Israel, or at least those that are captive in Israel, some degree of favor. Now, the book of Daniel also expresses to us several other things. Daniel was a nobleman of Israel. We believe he was a prince. He was taken to Babylon in the first deportation, which was somewhere around 600, 610, 605 B.C. We believe that Daniel was a teenager when he was taken. His ministry lasted an entire length of the Babylonian exile. His last of prophecy that he made in the year 536 B.C., was when he was in his 80s. So that's why we know that he was literally throughout the entire Babylonian exile, because it was a 70-year exile. All right. Now, Daniel's name was interesting to me. Daniel's name means that Elohim is my judge. That's what Daniel, D-A-N-I-E-L. L is the word for God. El is the word for Elohim. So Daniel, meaning that Elohim is my judge. It goes certainly in harmony with many of the types of themes that come out of this book of Daniel. We know then that also in the book of Daniel, he begins to describe current and future world conflicts, but Elohim's control over all events and all scenarios, Daniel makes no mistake about that Elohim is in charge of every single solitary situation. He is over and lords over every single solitary circumstance. Now, Daniel does a great deal of organizing of his thoughts. He is probably the best organized book in the writ. Book of Proverbs is the most abstract book in the Holy Bible. I believe, and some other my peers also in my theological sphere, believe that Daniel is the most organized book. You have scenarios, you have prophecies, you have dream interpretations, you have events, both good and bad. You have some serious scenarios that happen in the book of Daniel that are well organized and well spelled out. So they give us a great historicity of the time of Daniel and those connected to him in the Babylonian exile. So let's talk about why this is important to faith. Faith is, again, what brings Daniel and three other young men I want to talk about in the book of Daniel through some things. Now, we all know the story about Daniel when the other princes from other cities and other regions were with him, and they would not like Daniel praying, so they told some story to the king and had the king create a edict that would not allow Daniel to pray. And it was really an edict for the nation, because the nation or the people, certain people, Daniel prayed and Daniel received favor with every king. Daniel was 70 years in his office, 70. And he remained in that place because of his life of prayer. So some haters got used to Daniel and saw his routine. They would follow him and saw that when he would go home at certain times for breaks from the palace, he would be in his window praying to the east. And so they saw that, and they said, maybe that's his power. So let's go against Daniel and see if we can't get him out of the king's favor, and let's put an edict in place. Let's convince our king that everybody should only pray to you, and if they're found praying to any other god, then they are in complete and direct disagreement with your kingdom. And so we know the story of Daniel praying, and he was thrown into the lion's den. But Daniel operated from an ideal of faith. Now, today's subject matter in Discovering Your Faith, we're going to be dealing with what it means to be activating your faith in your own fire, your own fiery situation that you got yourself into, or maybe you did not get yourself into. But we want to talk about faith in the fire. Some can say faith under fire. Some can say faith on fire. But I want to say this, we're going to deal with faith in fire today. Maybe some of you are being persecuted on your jobs. Maybe some of you are being persecuted within your family. Maybe some of you are being persecuted in your life. Maybe some of you are being persecuted in your marriage, or persecuted in your ministries, or shoot, for that matter, persecuted by your own thinking. I want you to know that your faith with you in that fire will keep you from being harmed. Let's talk about that a little bit. Well, in the book of Daniel, chapter number 3, if you'll all join me there very quickly. Daniel chapter 3. Let's go there. We're talking about King Nebuchadnezzar and the way he decides to persecute a group of believers and people. All right? I want you to stay close, because we're going to be doing quite a bit of reading today. Why is that important? Because the writ is what we should be talking about. So let's talk about the story that we're about to read. Chapter number 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose weight was 60 cubits, and the breadth was thereof 6 cubits. He set it up. Matter of fact, why don't we just back up? I'm going to back up. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 46. I think we need to get a setup on this story. And as we read the story, I think we'll get a clarity of the brevity of and of the importance of this story. Look at this. Chapter number 2, verse 46. I'm sorry, I could probably keep going, but I'm going to stay here at 46. I want you to understand how Daniel and that which is connected to him actually operates when it understands faith. First number 46, chapter 2, the book of Daniel. Then the king, Nebuchadnezzar, fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation of sweet odors unto him. Now the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God, the God of gods and the Lord of lords and the Lord of kings and the revealer of secrets, seeing that you couldest reveal the secret. Then king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. So Daniel had done something for the king, and in this piece here, we talks about divining or interpreting the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. None of his other people could do it. And then Daniel, the Hebrew, like Joseph, the Hebrew in Egypt, Daniel, the Hebrew here in Babylonian exile, is able to interpret this dream and gives the king a great deal of peace and rest in his mind. So the king, Nebuchadnezzar, here decides to honor Daniel. Verse 48, chapter number 2, says, the king made Daniel a great man. He gave him great gifts, made him a great ruler over the whole province of Babylon, made him the chief of governors, and he made him over all the wise men of Babylon. This is huge. This is very much like reward that Joseph, son of Jacob, received in Egypt before Israel went to Goshen and became slaves in Egypt. So Daniel and Joseph have very similar stories, but they both had the greater story, which is that both activated and lived in faith. Look at this, verse number 49. Then Daniel, in his reward and in his office as now this great man, he requests of King Nebuchadnezzar. He said, and set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So Daniel left these three Hebrew boys, renamed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he placed them over all the affairs of the province in Babylon. Now, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image. I'm in chapter 1, verse 3, the book of Daniel. Please read with me, because this is how many of us progress in life. Listen, we're going to get to your points. Watch this closely. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose weight was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof was 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in a province of Babylon. Now, then Nebuchadnezzar king sent to gather together the princesses and the governors, judges, and the treasurers, and the counselors, and the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now, then the princesses and the governors and the captains and the judges and the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces were finally gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whosoever falls not down and not worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore, at that time, when all the people had heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people and all the nations and all the languages, they fell down and they worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near, and they accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever, O king. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, of the flute, of the harp, of the sackbut, of the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, that they're supposed to fall down and worship the image you've made. And whoever does not fall down and worship this image shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Verse 12. "There are certain Jews, O king, whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon." Specifically, there's Shadrach, there's Meshach, and Abednego. "Now, these men, O king, they have not regarded what you said. They don't even serve your gods, nor did they worship the golden image which you set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and his fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Now, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods? Is it also true that you have not worshipped the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, if you be ready, I want you to fall down and worship the image which I have made." and I made it well. But if you don't fall down and worship, I'm going to cast you in that same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they answered. It got a little deep here. I love this. They answered the king. Now, before we get into verse 16, let's talk about faith under fire. Faith under fire. There is a issue that is developing here. There is a process that has been put in fact in place. There is an edict that has been decreed. It has already been decried, and it has already been actually engaged. And they are now honoring this decree across the lands. So we have to find out what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are contending with. Well, these are, again, as the scriptures have said, as the Tanakh has declared, these are Jewish Orthodox Jews. They come out of Judea. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as well as Daniel, who set them over the province of Babylon. Well, Babylon is where the king really set up his office. So these three men over the province of Babylon and all the affairs are being accused. Now, it's funny because Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And only Satan would have you bow down and serve and worship any other god. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, based on their faith, based on the word of Elohim that they were hiding in their heart, based on their understanding of Torah, they were not to bow down themselves to any other image. They were not to make any images of anything under the heavens, in the seas, or in the stars above, and worship it. So faith to them is that word. We are not to bow down to any other image, any other images made other than to our Elohim, who there is no image of him. He is imageless because he is who he is. So the beautiful thing here is that while Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are confronted with imminent death should they not obey the charge that this man-made God, Lord of Lords, is asking of all his subjects, which he has the right to do. But how many of y'all know it's better to obey Elohim than to obey man? So let's go to verse number 16. We're in Daniel chapter 3, for those of you just tuning in. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 16. We've now heard that King Nebuchadnezzar says to them, when I play this music, I'm expecting you to bow down and worship me. Verse 15 says, now when you're ready, at the time that you hear this music and all types of music, I want you to bow down and worship me. Now, if you don't bow down and worship the image that I've made, I'm going to cast you into the fire, a fiery furnace. I want you to realize this. This is what's going to happen. Verse 16 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king. Now, this is bold. This is fearless. This is matter-of-factish. This is not arrogance. This is not rebellion. This is not an attempt to be disobedient, but it is an attempt to let them know that, sir, we have a high creed that we live by. Look at what they tell this king, who is telling them that if you don't bow down and worship my image, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to throw you in a furnace, and this is where you will die. And I'm going to do that in the same hour that the music plays. And if you don't bow down in that hour, you will be thrown into the fire. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so that you're going to throw us into the fire because we will not bow down and worship your God or your image, our Elohim, whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. See, here is where Nebuchadnezzar made his mistake. If you go back up to verse 15, he says to the boys, if you will not bow down and worship my image, I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace. And then he asks this arrogant question. He says, and who is your God, or that God, that shall deliver you out of my hands? And see, when people of the world try to intimidate you and I because of what is in the natural realm sitting right in front of us, and though it may be very impeding, very impressive, very intimidating, you and I have to realize that our faith operates in the spirit realm, and you can't always see what's coming out of the spirit realm to your defense, even though what sits in your natural realm can cause you to become afraid. You have to have faith. Now watch this as we talk about faith and fire today. Verse 16 again, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar. Notice they don't call him king. They don't call him king yet. They're pushing the envelope because he blasphemes basically against their God. He makes this statement. He says, what God is going to deliver you out of my hand? I know y'all don't serve my gods in this land because y'all come from Israel. Y'all come from the Jews. But what God you got that's going to deliver you out of my hands? And the reason Nebuchadnezzar can talk like this is because if their God was so bad, how'd you end up in my captivity? If your God was so keeping and powerful, how did my armies come in and decimate your people, decimate your land, decimate all that you have? So Nebuchadnezzar sort of kind of got his heart up on his chest and up on his shoulders. And he's puffed up because if your God is the God you say he is, he would have never let you end up getting captured by me. So at this point, I'm telling you and every other region and province that I have conquered, you are to bow down and serve my gods. And whatever other gods I should decide to make up and render should be served. So he's in charge. He is head in charge. He is in charge, naturally. But these boys know that the reason that Israel was defeated and that Yahweh allowed for you all to defeat us is because we as a people had been disobedient. We did not pay attention to what the law had said. Deuteronomy chapter 28, I'm going to go there very quickly and show you all what I mean. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, this is faith. We're talking about faith, people. We're talking about faith and fire. This faith also helps us understand the different types of things that go on when we say we have faith of Elohim. Now watch this, because this is where it gets really, really, really interesting. The king is saying, what God that you have will deliver you from me if the God you have has allowed me to defeat you and your people and drag you off your land and bring you here to me? Listen to this. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Everybody loves this chapter to talk about it. The book is called Devarim in Hebrew. So Devarim says, verse 1, chapter 28, it shall come to pass if you, Israel, if you, my children, if you, my chosen people, shall hearken diligently unto the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I command you this day. He says that Yahweh your Elohim will set you on high above all nations of the earth. So he says, if you will obey and keep my word, work and walk in faith, my word, then I will, Elohim, set you on high above all nations. Now watch this. Then he goes on to give them so many blessings. If you read verses 2 through 13, you'll see that he blesses them immensely. But in verse 14 of Deuteronomy 28, he says, thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right hand or to the left hand, to go after other gods or to serve them. Verse 15 says, but if it shall come to pass that you will not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh your Elohim to observe, to do all the commandments this day, these statutes which I command you, then these curses are going to come upon you. You're going to be cursed in the city, cursed in the field. You're going to be cursed in the fruit of your bodies. The Lord will make pestilence to come upon you and consume you. The Lord will smite you with a consumption, with fever, and the heavens shall keep them away from you. The Lord will blight you, and I'm just skimming through this, verse 27. The Lord will smite you with blotches from Egypt. The Lord will smite you with madness and blindness. The Lord shall betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her, cause this thing to come upon you. Listen to this. Thy sons and daughters will be given to another people, and your eyes shall look and fail with longing for the days, all the day long, and there shall be no might in your hand. The fruit of your land and all of your labors shall a nation which knows not you eat it up. That's exactly what was happening in the days of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's what Nebuchadnezzar was doing. He was a nation that knew not of them, but came and conquered them. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over unto a nation which neither you nor your father have known, and thou shalt serve other gods of wood and of stone. You shall become an astonishment, you shall become a proverb, you shall become a byword among all nations, whither Yahweh shall lead you, is a part of the prophecies that Yahweh had talked about in his word. He also said in here that other nations shall conquer you and drag you off your land. Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel, Shadrach, and Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, all of them that were in this occupation, all of them that were in this exile, according to the word of faith, were drug off their land according to the prophecy. So what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are saying to the king, when the king asks this question, the king says, who of your God is going to deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach says, look, we're not going to be careful to answer you because we know why we're here. We know why our God allowed you and your people and your false gods to conquer us. That was because we turned our back on his commandments. People of the Most High that are listening to this broadcast today, when you and I decide to disobey the commandments of Elohim and to not do the commandments of Elohim and then not repent once he tells us we're not doing his commandment, Yahweh will snatch us off of what we think we own, off of what we think we possess, off of what we think our great energy, our great wisdom, our greatness of ourselves have gotten us. And he will make us a byproduct. He will make us an astonishment to all nations. But if we will honor his word and we will work in his faith, he will make us and put us above all nations of the earth, and they shall say, that's a blessed people. But if we don't, he will then cause others to conquer us, and we will become a blight to all people. This is why I'm so enforcing of repent. If you've sinned, if you've erred, if you've thought wrong, just repent. Don't get down and depressed and start thinking, oh, I ain't worthy. No, none of us are worthy. He makes us worthy when we repent. He restores us. He puts us back in the right position. He gives us another opportunity to bring glory to his name. And, of course, you got to fulfill it. You got to do it. But when you do it, there's no guilt. There's no condemnation to them that are in Messiah. But if you don't come to Messiah, if you don't repent for your sins, if you don't ask him, hey, just take me, start me from here, help me do these things right, then he will have mercy and he will be abundantly pardoning of our sins, our transgressions, and our errors. Well, we got to mean it from our hearts. But if we don't keep his commandments, what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the children of Israel, of Judah, and of Judea, as well as Daniel, can happen to us in our era and in our way of life in this modern day. And I see it all the time. It's happened to me. I've not obeyed him, and he's removed me from the high place that he allowed me to be in when I was obedient to him. And then when I disobeyed him, he removed that which he'd given me because I wasn't worthy of it. Now, was I not worthy of it, that I shouldn't have it? No, but I would not honor him who gave it me, and I began to, as we would say, serve other gods. And we know, what's that mean? Well, when you disobey his word, you're not serving his word. You're not obeying his word. I hope this is helping somebody out there today. So when you consider that when Yahweh blesses you, Elohim blesses you, he favors you with family, with home, with houses, with cars, with good positions, with great wealth, with great influence, for that matter, with just great relationships with people. Much of the things that we receive of him is based on our obedience to him. But when we become disobedient, there is a negative connotation that goes with it. And unless we catch it when he convicts us, unless we repent when he convicts us, that's why he says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if I confess my sins, Yahweh is faithful and just to forgive us and then cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. That's why it's important to repent. Now, when you repent, you can't go into some guilt, some place of woe is me, oh God, this or that. That's why David, when in David, Psalm chapter 51, he says, Father, look, create in me a new heart. Create in me a right spirit. You know, restore the bones which you have broken, that I might be able to rejoice in you. Give me the joy again of you. But I need you to do me a favor. I will teach transgressors your ways, because I now know what I've transgressed in. I'll make sure that my testimony, my transgression, becomes a testimony of your mercy and your grace. But I need you to do me a favor, Yahweh. When I start teaching this, people are going to be converted. But there's going to be some people that know what I did, know where I've been, know what I've said, know what kind of trouble I got into, and they're going to try to antagonize me, and they'll bring me to shame. So I need you to deliver me. I need you, Yahweh, to deliver me from blood guiltness, that when I begin to teach, no matter what comes back at me, I won't become guilty and shut down what I have promised to do for you because of your mercy. So this is what Daniel, this is what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are really coming from when they say, O king, we're not even careful. We're not even careful to answer you in this matter. If it be, verse 17, I'm back in Daniel chapter 3 now. If it be our God, whom we do serve, is very able to deliver us from your threats, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Now notice in verse 16, they call him Nebuchadnezzar. They don't call him, O king. Now they know he's the king because he's their boss. But in this instance, when they defied this God, well, what God is going to deliver you out of my hand? They say, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, man, you done fell and bumped your head. Look, bro, we're not, I'm sorry, this is the VWJ translation. Look, bro, we're not even careful to answer you about this. If it be so that you play your music and we don't bow down, our God is very able. The God we serve, our Elohim, is more than able to deliver us from your burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But be it known, please understand this, Nebuchadnezzar, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your God. That's how we got in this mess. So to get us out of this mess, we don't serve no other gods. Now, there are other people who come from our land who don't believe this as convictedly as we do. They may bow down, but I'm sorry. For me to be free is to serve my Elohim. And if you in this place should kill me, then to be absent from this body is to be present with Yahweh. And if I'm present with Yahweh, I'm free. So I don't really think we're going to be concerned with how you feel about our choice, because our God says for us by faith not to serve or bow down to other gods. It's written in Devarim chapter 28, verse 14. Yep, it's written in our Torah in the book of Exodus chapter 20. So when you tell us and talk to us about being afraid of you and your great hand, we see the damage you could do. We see the nations that you have subdued. But listen to me closely, dear king, our king, we will not disobey again. That's how we got here. So if I bow down to you now, if we three should bow down to you here, if Daniel should bow down to you here, we're really not going to be concerned with what you do. Because when we bowed down to other gods before, that's how we ended up in your captivity. The buck stops here. That's deep. You and I have to have that same kind of faith. If the Bible says thou shalt not lie and you've been lying all your life and it keeps getting you in trouble, sometimes it looks like it's blessing you and then eventually you see the trouble your lies cause, stop lying. Obey his word. Don't bow down to those guys anymore. Repent of your ways. Repent of your sins and Yahweh will restore you. Let's look at this. Let's look at what faith in fire can do for us. Now, we're in verse number 18 again. I'm going to read the the King James Version, not the VWJ versions. But if not, be it known unto you, O King, that we will not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was so changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, this, what he's saying here, the form of his visage was changed. What this means is his physical countenance, basically he got beet red in his face, and the anger that came out of his eyes and the shaking of his body, he was just that mad. He was so angry. He then spoke and commanded to his people that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. That means I want that one furnace to be turned up 7 times hotter than it's supposed to be heated, meaning that the furnace shouldn't even be able to handle the type of heat I want y'all to put in that fire. So remember, he said in that self same hour, they would heat the furnace up, but he said, take it to 7 times hotter. Verse 20 says, and he commanded the most mightiest of his men that were in his army to bind up, to shackle up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then he wanted his mightiest men of his army to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound, their coats, their hose, their hats, and their garment in the midst of the fiery furnace. Therefore, because of this, the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace was exceedingly hot. The flame of the fire that was in the furnace slew the mighty men that brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to the furnace to push them in. And the Bible says that these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. So let me get this straight. King Nebuchadnezzar is so angry, he tells the people that are there, I want you to literally heat the furnace up 7 times hotter, and I want you to get my strongest military men to come down here, bound these boys up who have infuriated me, and I want my mightiest men to throw these men into this furnace. Now, this is where you got to see the hand of Elohim. Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego used faith, they said, O king, careful, we're not afraid, we're not intimidated to answer you this way. It is necessary for you to understand that our God does not want us to bow down to any graven images. Anybody don't know where to find that? Go to Exodus chapter 20. You'll read it right there. Go around verse 8 through 20, and you'll see this. He says, I don't want my people bowing down to any graven images. So, dear king, I can't bow down to you. That's faith. What is faith? Faith is what Elohim's word says about my situation. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that Elohim's word says, you don't bow down to graven images. Now, I don't care what this king wants you to do. You don't do it. Many who came from the same land that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from, they did bow down to save their own lives, not realizing that if they'd obeyed Yahweh, Yahweh would have saved their lives, just like he saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's lives. Now look at this. The king turns the fire up 7 times hotter, grabs his strongest military men, has them to shackle, bound up these three Hebrew boys, and take them to the opening of the furnace. Now, the furnace is 7 times when the door is open, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are being led, pushed to the furnace doorway by the mighty captains of Nebuchadnezzar's army. When the door is open, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego are the closest to the fire. The fire, when the door is open, jumps around Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and burns the men that were pushing them into the fire. And I mean burns them up, consumes them. The history and some of the other records of this event show that these men were burnt to a crisp instantly. Not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but the men who were pushing them from behind. The fire jumped over them because of their faith. Hallelujah. When you begin to walk in the faith of Elohim, Yahweh, though a fire is made for you, though your enemy has formed a weapon against you, it won't prosper when you stay in faith. Do y'all get that? When we decide to obey Elohim and know what his word says about our situation, his word will protect us, and it will not return to the sin heaven without accomplishing what he sent it to do, what you and I activate it to do. This is so beautiful to me. It's just mind-blowing. So we have faith, and we're supposed to operate faith when we are in trouble. The greatest place for you and I to operate faith in is in our dilemmas, when we're feeling depressed. What does faith say? I'm not the author of confusion. Yahweh is not the author of confusion. What does faith say when you're depressed? Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Well, who is this King of glory? He is Yahweh, your Elohim, the Lord strong and mighty. Hallelujah. He is the Lord mighty in battle. What do I do when my finances are messed up? Have faith. I will supply all of your need according to my riches in glory by Yeshua HaMashiach. Meaning you repent of your sins, you bow down at him, allow him to take the reins of your heart, allow him to move into your heart, he and the Father, and everything else in your life begins to change. What do I do when I'm in so much trouble with the law? I made mistakes because I was not obeying the word. I was lying, cheating, stealing, drugging, drinking. Now I got all these criminal charges, all these cases against me. Yes, there are ramifications for that. He also becomes Yahweh Nisi. Who knows if you don't repent that he'll have mercy on you? Charges just get dropped and thrown out of court and mistrialed. And you know just how close to punishment you came. That'll change your life forever. Trust me when I tell you. So faith in fire will keep you from being burned. Let's just look at this. Let's look at this. Let's look at this. Let's finish so we can get out of here. We only got a few minutes left on this broadcast. I want to help you with this. This is so good to me. I hope that you're learning. The Bible says, then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, I'm sorry, verse number 21. Then these men were bound with their coats and their hosens and their hats and their other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace was exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king, that's the truth. Yeah, we did that, that's right. He answered and said, I got a little problem. I see four men loose, walking, just walking around in the midst of a fire. And they have no hurt to them. And if I'm seeing this right, the form of the fourth is like the son of Elohim. Then came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace the king Nebuchadnezzar, and he spake to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, And he says, you servants of the Most High God. What he is saying is, you guys have proven to me that El Elyon is real. I need y'all to come up out of that fire and come back over here to me. Oh, this is exciting me. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the fire, and the princesses and the governors and the captains and the kings and the counselors that were gathered together saw these men upon whose body the fire literally had no power over. Their hair was not even singed, neither were their coats changed, nor, listen to this, y'all, they didn't even have the smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king spoke, and guess what he says? Baruch Hashem. This is what he says. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's words, and they yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I, the king, make a decree that every people and every nation and every language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this manner. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. People of the Most High, I want you to understand this, that when you, in fact, operate in faith, when you are in fire, under fire, threatened with fire, Yahweh, your Elohim, will stand up for you. Hallelujah. He will protect you even when the anger of your enemy is so hell-bent on burning you up. Yahweh will cover you and insulate you and keep you. But listen, it requires you to know what Yahweh says about your situation. The king tried to get them to do something that the word says I should not do. You don't bow down to any graven images. You don't bow down to other gods if you say you serve me. I am El Elyon. I am Yahweh that brought you out of Egypt. And the reason that the children of Israel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were actually back in captivity to this Babylonian king was because they neglected to walk in faith in years prior. Today, I want you, the Bible says, thou shalt not lie, stop lying. The Bible says, thou shalt be above only and not beneath, stop believing it. The Bible declares that he wants to be alone with you. He wants you to honor him on Sabbath. Begin to be there. Keep the feasts. Keep the appointed times. Stay in his word. Give him the prime time of your day. Thou shalt not gossip. Stop it. The enemy comes to literally intimidate you. You let that enemy know, like Yeshua did, I will not serve any other God but my God, and I'm not afraid of you because I'm in him. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, not might, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Faith in fire is knowing what Elohim's word says about your situation. If your body is hurting and in pain, the Bible declares that he is Yahweh Rapha, the Lord your healer. That's faith. If your finances are out of whack, he is Yahweh Yireh, the Lord your provider. If you are always finding yourself coming up short, even though you're giving your tithing and your offering, you need to call upon the name of El Shaddai. He is the one that is more than enough. And if you've been obedient to him by faith, trust me, he will deliver you out of a hand of debt, just like he delivered these three Hebrew boys out of the mighty hand of King Nebuchadnezzar. Faith in fire is real. I've seen it 100 times in my own life, and I'm going to continue to see it more times in my life, and I want you to experience it in yours. Have faith. What is faith? Faith is what Elohim's word says about your situation and your belief, your trust in that word, that when you step out on faith and apply that word, his word will cover you like these three boys and leave you unaffected by what should have taken you out. Hallelujah! That is what faith is. That is faith in the fire. I pray this has been of help and a blessing to you. If it has been, I want you to go online. I want you to go to Apostle V.W. Jones on Facebook, and I want you to leave a post and say, I understand faith in fire. I want you to also tune in with us on our next broadcast. Be back here this coming Wednesday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on this broadcast, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for the Proceeding Word. Also tune in on Wednesdays on Ustream, the letter Ustream.tv, Ustream.tv, every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and every Sunday at 10:15 to 10:30 Eastern Standard Time for more dynamic teachings through the Word. If you notice, we only read the Bible today, but we talked about it, and yet, though you heard the Bible being read, your mind began to deal with issues you're dealing with even today. This is how we teach, and this is why we say, you're going to learn today. Well, I got to get out of here. Time is evading us. I love you. I trust Yahweh has blessed you. I need your support. We need your help. We need partners with this ministry. Please consider going to vwjministries.com. And if there's a word here that has helped you and encouraged you today, consider sowing a seed. We need to be able to get this gospel in digital form to all platforms across the globe. If it blessed you, it'll bless others. Help us. Become an alumni. Become a partner with this ministry by going to vwjministries.com. and considering a contribution to help us further spread this type of gospel to all the world. Until we get a chance to meet again, we say to you, Shalom.